Welcome to the King of Kings Watchmen podcast, where heaven's truth meets the urgency of the times. Join Prophet Ronald and Prophetess Howa Bender as they equip Watchmen, awaken the body of Christ, and release prophetic insight for this hour. Are you spiritually alert to what God is saying? If this broadcast is blessing you, we invite you to partner with us. Your financial support helps us continue to release God's word, expand this prophetic assignment, and reach more lives across the nations. Visit thekingofkingswatchmen.org to support and receive more prophetic insight. Stay ready. Stay aligned. This is the King of Kings Watchmen podcast.
Hello, this is Prophet Ronald Bender. First, I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the King of Kings Watchmen podcast. Today, I am going to talk about exploiting the church for money. And I've been seeing a lot more of this going on. I know we all have if we pay attention to what's going on in social media and different outlets. So the Lord gave me a prophecy, something he pressed on my heart to release first, expressing his heart. And what I ask you to do is just listen to the words, test it, of course, because we're all encouraged to test everything. And as you hear this message, understand that God is very specific about how to receive blessings, but he also does not like it when we think we can manipulate him or bribe him into giving us something in return, such as giving money just because we feel pressured to do it and we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, and it's a pressure that comes because some person claiming to be some man or woman of God who's telling us that money should be given, and then if we give an X amount, then God's going to bless us for giving that X amount. And if we don't give, I've heard this already also, and it's very annoying, that, for instance, I will not pray for you if you do not give. That right there is witchcraft. So I'm going to go into what the Bible specifically says about giving after I release this prophecy to you, and help you understand also the importance of tithing. So there's a way to give, and there's some reasons not to give. Thus says the Lord, I am not blind, nor am I ignorant of what people do. I see all things and know all things. I desire to bless my people. I desire to reveal my love to my people. I desire all people to come to repentance and know me as the God of love. I want you to know who I am. I want you to understand my ways and walk in my will. I do not bless those who live for themselves, who live with idols in their heart. I do not bless those who treat me as common. To not reverence me, to not live as if I am holy, is to treat me as common and show dishonor towards me. I will bless and I will freely give to those who honor me, who walk in my ways and live according to my word. To live in sin and believe I will bless your disobedience is to say I am pleased with your rebellion. Yes, I show my goodness on the just and the unjust. I reveal myself to the wicked and the righteous, though I reserve my presence, my intimacy, with those who honor me, who live a life of reverence for me. I am not for sale. Nor do I bless someone who gives financially when their heart is far from me. A person who gives without any humility is a person who thinks I can be manipulated and mocked. I am not a God who is bribed, nor do I condone those who sell my gifts. I will judge those who use my name and my gifts for profit. Each person will give an account for what they have done. Let my Holy Spirit lead your life. Keep reverence for me. Honor my Holy Spirit and be a blessing as I lead you, says the Lord. God is very clear about how he wants us to be a blessing, how he blesses us when we obey the Holy Spirit. And that is key, obeying the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of people who are trying to exploit the church for money, and it's been going on for years, actually generations. So when people, even though they're claiming to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, preachers, and teachers, are pressing you to give money, you do not have to yield to it. Let me say this again. Just because they claim a title, and just because they are proclaimed to be a man or woman of God, if they are pressing you to give money, you do not have to give. Jesus never sold the gospel. He never pressured people into giving. And he explicitly stated, freely you received, so freely give. That's in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Jesus had just given his disciples authority to heal, cast out demons, and preach. Then he gave them these words, freely you have received, freely give. He did not say, now go and sell these things to people. Go and ask them for money as I have given you. Go now and receive money before you do these things. He never said that. So if someone says, I will not pray for you until you give, they're in witchcraft. That's rebellion. 1 Samuel 15:23. Rebellion is witchcraft. Anyone who is operating outside of the word of God to exploit you for money is operating in the spirit of witchcraft, which is demonic. Do not yield to them, because if they do pray for you, what do you think you'll be receiving? An impartation of demonic intervention into your life. If a person is operating in rebellion and they pray for you under the spirit of rebellion, which is witchcraft, you are allowing them to pray a spirit of witchcraft into your life. I don't care how much money you give them. It does not negate the word of God, which is above everything that we do. It's above every law. Think of the word of God as a law book. Just like gravity is immovable, if you jump off a building, you will fall. You will never fly. The word of God is just like a law of gravity. If it says to do something and you don't do it, you're going to have the results of not listening. If you do something that is in rebellion, that is against the word of God, that is sin, it is a spirit of witchcraft. It is a spirit of rebellion. These people who claim to have some anointing, don't matter what title it is, I don't care how good they make it sound, if it is outside the word of God, if they're pressing you to do something that you don't feel comfortable doing, that's called manipulation. That's called control. That is a spirit of witchcraft. You have permission to walk away and not give in to it. Jesus never charged people for what God gave them freely. Don't turn spiritual things into business transactions. And that's what a lot of people are doing. Serve people from a place of grace, not profit. That is the heart of God. God's power and grace are not for sale. Okay, let me repeat that. God's power and his grace are not for sale. There's reasons to give money, and there's reasons not to give money. Ministry should flow from compassion, not control or manipulation. What you've been given spiritually is meant to bless others, not to be leveraged over them. That is where a man or woman of God should be walking. They should be standing in a place where they are blessing people with what God gave them for free and not leveraging it over people. Paul instructed people to give as they each purposed in their hearts, not based on pressure. Paul instructed people to give as they purposed individually. What you desire to give yourself is what you give, not based on what someone is pressing you to give. We should give to our church and ministries, but not based on pressure, okay? Or because we are trying to manipulate God. God is not mocked. He never will be. If you're living in rebellion and you think you can purchase a blessing from God, you might as well just keep your pocketbook or your wallet shut and don't even worry about it, because if you give the money out of a position of trying to manipulate or mock God or even bribe God, you're not going to receive a blessing for it. The money is just being thrown into the black hole with no return because you are operating in a spirit of rebellion, which is a spirit of witchcraft. You do not get blessed when you operate in that kind of spirit either. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says specifically, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. If he's telling you by his Holy Spirit to give, then give. That's out of obedience. God is not mocked if you are living in sin and you think you can give money and receive a blessing despite your disobedience. You are deceived. God does not bless rebellion, no matter how much money you give. God also does not bless you just because you give money. To give outside of God's will is sinful. I want you to understand this. Thinking of it like this. That which you have is entrusted to you by God. He may want you to give to a specific ministry or church or even a person. If you choose to do your own thing and give where you are pressured to give, you are outside of God's will and blessing financially that which God desires you to give. So God has a will. He has a purpose for the money he entrusted to you. If he tells you to give over here, but you choose to go elsewhere because you feel pressured to give, then you have not given where God wanted you to give ultimately. You see, a person who just wants your money is going to try to pressure you into giving them your money. However, God has specific reasons for why he's given you what he's given you. So you should know that you have to follow the Holy Spirit. So if you go outside of God's will and bless someone financially that should not be blessed because God wanted you to give it elsewhere, you're in sin. You knew what you ought to do, but you didn't do it. You see, that's what James talks about. If you know what you ought to do and you don't do it, that is sin. So we have to know where God wants us to give our finances. Giving, no matter how good it seems, can be done from a wrong motive and place us in sin. You see, you can give all you want to give, but if you're giving because you want to get something in return, and you're not in obedience to the Holy Spirit, you're not following the will of God, then you're basically trying to act like God can be mocked, he can be manipulated, he can be bribed, and you are in a position where you don't even understand who God is in that place. You're deceived, and you're acting like a fool. Because God will never be manipulated. If you want God's blessings, then you align yourself with his word, you live in obedience, and then you give your finances according to his will, where he wants you to give them. You yield to the Holy Spirit. If you're in a church, and you are being blessed by that church, you give your tithe to the church. I'm going to talk about tithe at the end of this message. Because God specifically wants you blessed financially, but he wants you to bless his body of Christ. He wants you to bless his church, his ministries that he's established according to his will and where he has placed you in this earth at this time. There are specific places for you to give your finances. So we should not give grudgingly. We should give willingly. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. So let's just say someone's saying, if you give $1,000, God's going to bless you for that $1,000, but you only have $100 to spare, and if you go into debt to give that $1,000, you're foolish. 100%. You don't know how to manage your money, and God ain't going to tell you to do something you do not have the means to do. See, God knows exactly what you have. He's only going to ask you to give according to what you can give. That's why it says specifically in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, if you're giving willfully, that the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. If you don't have it, it's not acceptable if you try to give that. But if you have something and it's willingness in you to give it, then it is going to be acceptable no matter what amount that is. It's not about what some person, despite what title they have or whatever, tells you to give. It ain't about them. They just want your money. They're trying to exploit you. Stop it. Don't listen to them. They don't care about you or your blessings. They only care about the money, and God will judge them according to what they're doing. Don't worry about them. Walk away. Keep your wallet shut. It doesn't matter if they get $0 from you. God doesn't care about how much you give to a person like that, because you're giving out of compulsion, out of pressure. Now, He is merciful to those who are deceived in giving to people who are trying to exploit them. And He can turn the situation around and still bless that because they're ignorant. But if you are wise in this and you know how not to be pressured and you have the assurance, you know the Holy Spirit, and you're not going to be manipulated, and even if they tell you you're in sin if you don't give, you know you're not, because you have the assurance. I give where God tells me to give. I'm not going to give to someone who's walking in witchcraft. You don't have to let them control you. You can walk away from that. God does not expect you to give what you don't have. It's about sincerity, not the amount. Remember that. If you know you only have X amount, any time that someone wants to pressure you to give beyond that amount, that is not of God. People who want to pressure you and make you feel you are not giving enough are in error. You should never feel your gift is less than. It is not about the amount, but about the heart. We should never give because we are trying to get something from God. Remember that. It ain't about you trying to get something. It's about you giving generously and knowing God will reward you for your faithfulness. God will never tell you to do something that's going to create a burden. He is not like that. Now, there are times when He can tell you to give that will stretch your faith, but He'll be there to get you out of that position of feeling like you don't have enough anymore. Like, He already has a way to get you to see there was a blessing coming, but you wouldn't see that if you didn't give. Your faith wouldn't have been stretched if you didn't give according to the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit can convict you and say, hey, I want you to give your whole paycheck. That does happen. Because God already sees an avenue of being blessed, so you do not have to lose on paying a bill. He already had the provision there, but He's trying to test your faith to trust Him. But it's not out of pressure or compulsion by some person who's trying to manipulate you into giving because they just want to exploit the church. It is nothing like that. So giving should never leave you struggling. Remember that. It's not about you struggling. When a person is pressured into giving, they will feel they have to meet a certain amount, even when it is above their means. So if you are left struggling after giving, you did not listen to the Holy Spirit. You were manipulated, and you thought you could manipulate God by giving and thinking you will receive. God is not mocked nor manipulated. We are told to have wisdom. That means to have wisdom in our giving. Paul's personal example was no exploitation. Paul worked with his own hands to provide for himself. You can ask these men or women of God if you want. You can ask them this. This is how I would ask them. I was like, why don't you go get a job instead of exploiting people in the church? If God wants us to give money, then He will convict us to do it ourselves, not based on your pressure. You see, you can be bold and confront this stuff. Now, there are people who will just give in to that. Don't be one of them. Because God, He doesn't want us to feel we can take advantage of Him. He wants us to trust Him, trust His Holy Spirit. People will always try to take advantage of other people. There are people like that in the world, and they're always going to be in the world. You don't have to give in to them. See, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8, this is what Paul wrote. He says, we worked night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We're living a life where he was not taking advantage of people. We also see in Acts chapter 20, verse 33 through 35, it says, I have not coveted anyone else's silver or gold. These hands have provided for my necessities. Paul's standard of living was, I will work and I will do my ministering, but I will not ever make it feel like I'm pressuring people to give to me. He worked so he could provide for his own self. He did not rely on people's giving to provide for his food or to pay his bills. Remember that. Someone who is not exploiting you, someone who is not trying to manipulate you, actually care about you. But those who do want to manipulate and control you and make you feel guilty for not doing what they say, those people are walking by a spirit of witchcraft. So Paul often supported himself to avoid any appearance of exploiting people financially. Do not feel, I'm stressing this, that you have to try to provide for someone so they can pay their bills. If God leads you to give, then you give. That's called obedience. God wants us to give willingly, not under pressure. He wants us to give within our means, and he wants us to give with a joyful heart. Leaders should not manipulate or exploit giving. Paul's teachings align with what Jesus said. Freely you have received, freely give. People who pray for you without expecting anything in return are walking by the Holy Spirit. That is the essence of the gospel. Always remember, the gospel is not for sale, and giving should never be forced. We should always be led by the Holy Spirit. It is okay to not receive prayer from someone who says they will not pray for you until you give. You can say, I don't want you to pray for me, because you're under a spirit of witchcraft. Prayer, blessings from God are free. If you pray for me without receiving a dime from me, then I know you are actually hearing from God and you are led by the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit is not for sale. The gifts of God are not for sale. The things of God are not for sale. Anyone who acts outside of that area are walking in witchcraft. Now let's talk about tithing, because some people actually want to say tithing is not what we do in the New Testament. That's a bunch of baloney, because when you think about it, Jesus, Yahweh, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what was spoken and taught in the Old Testament, some principles are still applying to us today in the New Testament. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He did not destroy the law. He fulfilled the law. However, there's principles in tithing that people are trying to teach people don't apply to us today. And they do, because God understands that money is one of the things that can trip people up. It can get us confused. It can get us to create an idol for money in our hearts. And one of the ways that you destroy that idolatry, that greed, the spirit of greed, is by giving. You see, if you feel that you should not give, or you cannot give, or you're afraid of not having enough, if you always have this fear, that's not of God. So if you have a fear, I can't give, I can't give, I can't give, because I won't have enough. But you have enough, then you're walking in a spirit of greed, you're walking in a spirit of fear. You need to pray about that and get free from that, so you can be a generous giver and see God bless you. So in the Old Testament, it talked about tithing. See, every tithe of the land, whether from seed or fruit of trees, belongs to the Lord and is holy to him. This was found in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 to 32. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add 1/5 to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock or whatever passes under the rod, the 10th one shall be holy to the Lord. Now, that you would say is under the law, Levitical law. Okay. Now, I agree with that, because it is under the Levitical law. Okay, you can say Jesus fulfilled the law. That doesn't apply to me. Okay, understood. However, we're going to go into other passages that talks about it, and we're going to see exactly how it still applies to us. These are principles that God established back in the Old Testament, but if we are wise and we yield to the Holy Spirit and we allow Him to counsel us, we will see how it applies to us today. God designed tithes in Israel as an inheritance for the Levites in exchange for their service in the tent of meetings. The Levites were God's chosen people to be priests. So a priest is someone who is ministering to us. That would be your church pastor, your apostle, your prophet, your pastor or your teacher, or your evangelist. Those are priests today who are called by God, appointed by God, anointed by God to serve the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ. And it also talks about how the wages of the worker should be due to them. So therefore, the work that these people do in the church, they should receive a wage for the work they do. There is a giving that you can give to them out of honor for their service, because the Bible talks about a double honor being placed on these people for their service to the Lord to build you up in your faith and help you walk in your purpose and calling yourself in obedience to God and be trained in the things of God so that you walk in a relationship with God. These people are appointed and anointed by God to help you walk in an intimate relationship with God by the Holy Spirit so you can be in the kingdom of God when you die. That's their main purpose. The gospel is to be expressed through all ages, through people like this who have the power of the Holy Spirit working through them, talking about healings and deliverances and all these other things. You should be able to give to these people out of honor. They should receive. That's what that is talking about. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 21 through 26, the inheritance for the Levites. That means giving to your church leaders. In the third year, tithes were to be given to the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, so they could eat and be satisfied. So you see here, we see in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 12 to 15, about giving to the sojourner, the fatherless, the widow, and also the Levite, which means God wants us to give to the widows and other people, because He wants people to be taken care of. That's the heart of God. So when you think about tithing in the Old Testament, it was an established law so that those who serve in His temple, in the tabernacle, or nowadays in the church, they will be taken care of. Because usually a lot of people are being paid by their service to the Lord in their specific area of responsibility, which is their church or ministry. And they don't take money outside of that. Now, prophetical calls to faithfulness. When Israel withheld tithes and contributions, God challenged them. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. You see, here we see in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 10, it talks about a curse can fall on us for our disobedience, and that we are robbing God if we don't pay our tithe. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you in tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. You see, the Lord wants to bless you, but He says there's a curse when you withhold. Now you would say, but this is still under the law. Granted, you can always say that to make an excuse to not do something. But Proverbs even encourages honoring the Lord with the wealth and first fruits, promising that barns will be filled with plenty and vats will burst with wine. Think about this. The first fruit is the tithe. Okay? So I want you to think about it this way. Proverbs says this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. If you keep thinking it's the Old Testament, I don't have to apply it, then why do you read the Psalms? Why do you read Proverbs? If it does not apply to you, then why do you read those books? There's wisdom in Proverbs. So clearly, God had it put in Proverbs because there's wisdom behind it. So before we get on board with these people who want to confuse us and keep us from God's blessings, we got to ask ourselves, has God changed? The Word of God says, no, He has not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So therefore, that which He encourages in the Old Testament, there's some principles there that still should be applied in the New Testament. So that you can be blessed and that you can see God move in your life, I would strongly recommend you put away the manipulation and all this control and all this confusion and all this stuff that people are trying to bring into your mind to keep you, because they're listening to demons themselves. They don't want you to be blessed. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's the purpose of why there's so much exploitation in the church and why there's so much confusion about people trying to teach to stop tithing and stop doing this stuff, because they don't want you blessed, because they don't want the blessing themselves, and they are listening to demons. Satan knows if you withhold, there is a curse and there is a lack of blessing that comes. Satan knows this. The Word of God is a law book. If you don't do this, this other thing will follow. If you do this, then the other thing will follow. There's always a consequence to obedience and a consequence for disobedience. You want blessings, you obey the Word of God. It's pretty simple. But yet, for some reason, people on this planet want to forget the one element, a skill set that they should retain for their whole life that they learn in grade school, which is reading comprehension. The Bible says it, you read it, you comprehend it, you apply it. It's not that hard. But for some reason, people just want to listen to the confusion. They want to listen to the manipulation. They want to act like they can mock God. They want to do things that are disobeying to God. And God is very adamant about, do not mock me. I'm not going to be bribed. I will not be manipulated. If you think you can do these things, you will get nothing from me. But if we can yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, listen to Him, we will see the blessings of God flow into our lives. New Testament perspective. Jesus acknowledged the Pharisees' tithing practice, but emphasized that injustice, mercy, and faithfulness are weightier matters. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So you see, the Lord is talking about you pay tithe, and you can still say, well, the Pharisees were under the law. Jesus didn't die on the cross yet. He didn't fulfill all of the law at this moment. So therefore, they were still obligated, and they were religious zealots anyways. They were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were all bound by the law, so they all had to do that law thing. Remember, if it doesn't apply, then why apply Proverbs, Psalms, and all the other things that people teach from the Old Testament? If it doesn't apply to us today, then why is it something that is instructed in the Book of Wisdom, Proverbs? Remember, Jesus is talking about tithing because He didn't say stop tithing there. He didn't say to not do it anymore. He said that you neglect the weightier matters, justice, mercy, and faith. See, He says you're a hypocrite not because you tithe, but because you neglected justice, mercy, and faith. Yes, tithe. You're doing well to tithe, but do the other three things too. So here we see Abraham gave a tenth of everything to Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, demonstrating the tithe's ancient significance. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 through 10. Abraham gave to Melchizedek. He is an example, and it's referenced in the New Testament. Why would it be referenced in the New Testament if it did not apply to us today? It's an example to follow. There's wisdom in yielding to the Holy Spirit. There's wisdom in applying the Word of God. There's wisdom in giving financial support to ministries. There's wisdom in giving your tenth, your first fruits. There is wisdom. There's a blessing. If you do not do these things, and you think, for whatever reason, you can listen to confusion, you can manipulate God, you can withhold the finances that God wants you to give, you're under a curse. You're in rebellion. That's a spirit of witchcraft. You are willingly yielding to yourself. That is the consequences of disobedience. So, Paul taught that generous giving produces generous returns, and each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6-7. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Additionally, Jacob vowed to give God a full tenth of all he received. Genesis chapter 28, verse 20-22. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and all of that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Remember, in Hebrews it talks about Abraham giving to Melchizedek a tenth. That is referenced from Genesis chapter 14, verse 18-20. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. Remember, a priest. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Everything Abraham had, he gave 10% to Melchizedek right there. So remember, if you're pressured, not of God. Be a generous giver. Give what the Holy Spirit tells you to give, and it's based on conviction. Conviction works both ways. Remember this. If you're in sin, you're going to be convicted to repent. But if God wants you to do something, he can convict you to do it. See, conviction isn't just about stopping sin. It can also be God wants you to give, so he'll convict you to give. He wants to press you into doing something based on his Holy Spirit touching your heart. It's not a pressure of guilt. It's a pressure of like, wow, I want this person over here blessed. I want them financially blessed so they can do my work, their obedience. And I want you, because you have the finances and the means right now to give to them, do it. You see, a true man or woman of God will not pressure you to give. See, I have on our podcast intro and outro, be obedient. You can sow into this ministry. That's not me telling you that if you don't give, you're in disobedience. That is communicating that if the Holy Spirit is telling you to give, then give. But you don't have to give to this ministry. We're going to keep communicating. We're going to keep going around the world. We have other means of finances, financial support. I don't want you to feel you have to do something, because I'm not going to put myself under the spirit of witchcraft. I'm not that foolish. But if you feel the Holy Spirit telling you to do something, then do it. But if you don't, and you just want to receive freely, you can. That's a true ministry, a true man and woman of God. So we pray this has helped you. We pray you get some sound wisdom from this. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, you will just cover your child right now. Bring wisdom, understanding. Remove the veil from their eyes. The hurt they've received in the past, Lord, we break that off of them and ask that you just help them Get past that offense, Jesus. Right now, I pray if there's any confusion, any manipulation, any pressure that they're receiving from someone, we break that off them now in Jesus' name. The spirit of witchcraft is cast from them now in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that they receive a blessing from you, Lord, that as they yield to you, as they do your will and follow your purpose and what you want them to do, Lord, we pray that, Lord, that as they listen and give to where you direct them to give, that they receive their hundredfold return. Lord, we thank you for their life. We thank you for what you're doing in their life. We pray this over them, Jesus, and I pray a prophet blessing right now into their family, right now into their lives, right now where they are, Lord. I pray that they feel your presence, your Holy Spirit. I pray a manifested love just manifest right now inside of their heart and around them right now, in their car, in their home, in their business, wherever they are, Jesus, right now. I pray that they just feel that right now. We thank you for them, Lord, and we pray that, Lord, you will keep them safe wherever they are. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the King of Kings Watchmen podcast. We pray today's message strengthened your faith, sharpened your discernment, and helped you deepen your relationship with God. As the Lord has ministered to you, we invite you to respond in obedience through giving. When you sow into this ministry, you are partnering with the prophetic voice God is using in this hour to equip, warn, and awaken his people. Don't just hear the word, move with it. So your seed and align with what God is doing. Visit the King of Kings Watchmen.org to give and stay connected. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. Stay watchful, stay ready. This is the King of Kings Watchmen podcast.